On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with J.P. Finley.
What up, everybody? Redskins Talk is here. JP Finley. I've got the whole squad. I got my main dude, Rich Tandler, back today. Tandler, how are you, man?
Hey, doing well.
I assume you are lounging in the Lazy Boy.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's way more comfortable than me and this gang of fools here in the podcast studio. But we have donuts. Pete Haley is here. I'm worried about Pete. He drank coffee. Mitch, you got to be quick with the mute button today.
I got it, but do you see what kind of coffee Pete's drinking? It's like milk.
It's a breakfast milkshake is what I call it. But yeah, my palms are still drenched in sweat as they are whenever I get caffeine.
Oh, jeez.
No high fives.
Tandler, are you nervous about Pete today?
I just figure he can cut out whatever he says stupid, so you might as well just mute his microphone, as a matter of fact, now that I think of it.
I tell you what.
What
RT,
a segue.
That is the perfect segue, because I have something I need to address. A few different people, and I had all sorts of different notes here, but I'm jumping right into it. A few different people on Twitter asked me why I was so mean to Pete in the last podcast.
The last podcast?
Pete, do you want me to tell the whole story
go ahead.
So, and I said, I was like, you know what? I am a little mean to Pete on the podcast. I can back off a little bit. Then I listened to the podcast and noticed that Pete had a tremendous, egregious error in the last podcast where he sounded like an idiot. Right, Mitch?
Idiot.
And he edited that shit out, which makes it seem like I'm just being mean to him for no reason. And it drove me nuts.
For the record, you shouldn't have to defend yourself for being mean to Pete.
Right. Pete is also king of the mutts, man. He's always breaking something. He's always doing something wrong. And I'm nice to Pete in general. I work with Pete in a lot of actual significant ways.
Yeah.
On the podcast is where we're mean to him.
Yeah. It's where we get to take out our frustrations.
Right, exactly. And this king of the mutts decided to pull all his statistics from Wikipedia, and when I proved that they were incorrect, he then just erased it out of the podcast. So that's why I was mean to him last week, or whenever that last podcast
like
was.
I told you, I'm fine with looking like a pretty big idiot, but when I look like an absolute major idiot, I'm going to take that out. It was a mistake. It won't happen again, but cut me some slack for once.
Hold on, when the rest of us make mistakes,
yeah,
you cut
you
that out?
No,
leave that in.
I actually cut out multiple things from you guys. It felt like I was doing surgery on that podcast. We had said a lot of dumb things. I look out for you guys, too, when you stumble or make up.
We're moving on. Right. Tandler, anything you'd like to say to Pete? Do you buy at all his explanation?
No.
Yeah, all right. I don't either.
Okay.
I don't either.
I will teach you, when I can get back in the office, I will teach you some ways how to properly use the tools that are there on the internet.
You're going to teach me how to use the internet. Got it.
Yo,
sounds good.
Tandler doesn't botch stats,
no.
Dummy.
Ever.
That's true.
Binary Tandler is perfect in this scenario, by the way.
Well, let's start. Lesson one, don't go to Wikipedia for your stats.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So the mistake was that Wikipedia said Trent Williams was a two-time All-Pro, including last season when he played like 10 games. It was a total mess up.
And I would pull that thread a little deeper. I'm not sure you know the difference between All-Pro and Pro Bowl.
Well, I do know the difference, yeah.
Now you do? Or
no, I knew it as always, but I just assumed in those little bios on Wikipedia that it was going to be right.
We're moving on.
Boom!
We're on to Cincinnati. You don't get the boom knowing the difference between Pro Bowl and All-Pro.
Okay. Unboom.
Oh, my God. Pete is never allowed to drink coffee or whatever he's got before a podcast.
I'm just happy that wasn't an air horn.
Oh, my God. I think the kid's basically on speed right now. All right. So my notes are all over the place. Welcome back, Tandler. We're glad to have you back. Pete's an idiot. Moving forward, we may even be there. I haven't checked. Leave us some reviews, man, because we want to have this party. I think so. All right. This is the Combine Preview Podcast. I haven't even been able to get to that because we've been seriously sidetracked here. Pete, I'm sure you don't even have the clock going.
You're right.
Gosh.
What a
so,
mutt.
All right, Combine Preview. I leave for Indy.
We're 5 minutes in.
All right, okay. Thank you, RT. I leave for Indy Wednesday morning, hoping to secure some interviews to turn a podcast for Friday morning. But there's also a number of players that we find interesting that we want to talk about here. I gave everybody homework last night. Tandler, Mitch, and Pete all got homework. Everybody has to come up with their star, a solid, and a sleeper, which means everybody has to pick somebody they're interested in that's going to be a first-round draft pick and then a Friday draft pick, meaning either second or third round, and then a late round or a Saturday draft pick. Everybody has their list. We've made sure, I think, that there'll be no doubles. Hopefully everybody stuck to the rules. Real quick, before we get to our legit combine preview, Blake Bortles got his deal with Jacksonville. I've been saying that for 2 months, that Blake is staying in Jacksonville. Is anybody surprised there?
Nope.
All right. And the Vikings are going to, it looks like, move on from Case Keenum, which I think Mike Garofalo reported.
And Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, but
that wasn't that surprising. But worth mentioning.
And so it looks like Mitch is just rolling his eyes at Pete.
I wish you guys could see the eye roll that's going right now.
It's time for the mute button, I think. Our boy's a little hopped up. I think Minnesota's going to go in on Kirk Cousins.
The Vikes are putting themselves out there because there's not, if they don't get one of those top tier guys, it's a big step down from Keenum.
Well, I think, here's what I really think we're setting up to find out, is if Kirk's going to take the cash of the Jets, or he's going to, because I don't know, you're already seeing the reports that the Broncos aren't going to go above 25, 26 a year for Kirk. And they clearly want him, but it seems like they've got a number in their head. And Tandler, if you remember last time we had Kime on here, or hell, if you remember that train ride home from the Meadowlands after week 17, we all said that, you know, the high end of what a team should pay Kirk is 25, 26 million, right?
Yeah, that's where we were. That's where it seems to go. But somebody's going to pay him more than that.
There is absolutely going to be an offer for more than that out there.
They can also get pretty creative with that 25 a year, you know, backloading it. Not that Kirk's going to love that, but guaranteeing in the later years.
Well, I think a lot of it will come down to if he wants to compete right away, or the cash. And I want
that
to be
is, back to,
go ahead.
Go ahead. Just back to what Mitch said real quick. Yeah, you look at cap space, and the Broncos have only $26 million. That doesn't mean they can't offer Kirk Cousins a contract worth over $26 million a year. They would just have to, it's a typical thing. You use signing bonus. You lower the first year cap hit. You could do a contract like that easily with a $15 million first year cap hit, and then just have some roster bonuses or something like that for the guaranteed money in the out years.
Right, and you look at that defense, and they have a bunch of big contracts that are coming off the books in the next year or
Broncos,
two.
Broncos, you're saying?
Broncos, yeah.
They'll have to trim to make it work.
Absolutely. Not necessarily this year, I'm saying, but
I think they're going to have to trim to make it work no matter what. Yes. I think you're looking at losing Talib. I think you're looking at losing C.J. Anderson before you even get to what might happen at receiver.
Right.
And RT, I'm curious if you agree with me. I know how bad their quarterback play was. I think the Vikings are a better team than the Broncos, even if everybody comes back.
Oh, I definitely agree, especially, Talib is on his way downhill. Xavier Rhodes
I mean,
is,
just the age of the rosters are quite different.
He's peaking now, right. He's peaking. Von Miller, okay. It's probably the best player, would be the best player on either team.
Sure.
But I'll take everything.
Including whichever side gets Kirk Cousins.
Younger guys like that, I might take them, if I'm going to trade like a 2-for-1 trade, I'd take them ahead of him. So, I definitely, I think that Vikings top, and at receiver, the Broncos have Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, both have seen better days. Which I think Diggs, Adam Thielen are,
especially
are in their prime years.
Especially at their price point. Thielen and Diggs are making nothing. And we didn't even mention Dalvin Cook, who I think could be, who was looking really good. All right, so that's enough. The Cousins stuff is going to be the story of the combine. So we'll have plenty to discuss about that in the next week, I think. All right, we're combine preview starts right after this.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
All right, everybody. We are doing our combine preview. This is how it works. All four of us came up with three guys we are really excited to hear about, watch, see their, you know, see their performance, see their numbers, see their measurables at the combine. But rather than just all of us picking the top 15 picks, because that's what a lot of places do, you just hear about the same guys over and over and over. We wanted to spread it out a little bit. So everybody has to give you a lock first rounder, somebody we expect to be a second or third rounder, a Friday night draft pick, and then a Saturday afternoon draft pick, which is fourth round and on. I think this is going to be fun. I am going to defer to the big man who I believe is talking about a big man. Mitch, you're up first.
Surprise, surprise. I am talking about a big man day one of the draft. I'm going with Vita Vea. Everyone,
can we get a ruling? Is it Vea or Vey? Because I've heard it both ways. His last name. Taylor, you got it?
I'm going to do some research. NFL.com has help pronouncing names usually in their draft profiles.
Taylor, what have you heard?
I heard Vea.
Yeah, I've heard Vea too. I'm sticking with Vea for now.
Okay, that's fine.
Everyone knows about him. Washington D-lineman, played inside and out, outside on pass rushing downs. The knock on him is that he's not great rushing the passer. He goes straight for bull rushes, doesn't have a whole lot of counter moves. But a little nugget I found, he ran a 4.8 coming out of college.
That's wild, dude.
A 4.8 weighing 300-plus pounds.
Dude, at like 350.
Yeah.
Did you hear?
Wait.
Go ahead.
You mean coming out of high school?
Coming out of high school. I'm sorry. Yes, coming out of high school.
Oh, so he wasn't as heavy as he is now.
He was 300 plus, but they still expect him to run a sub 5.40 or so, right around a five second 40.
I don't know if any of you guys were on Mayock's conference call. NFL Network sets up a big conference call, and he said if Vita Vea can run sub 5.40, that he considers that more impressive than your boy, John Ross, running a 4.2 last year. So that's your first guy, Vita Vea. I think
Vita Vea is the official pronunciation.
Good job, Pete.
Thank you.
Taylor, I think he's firmly in play at 13. You agree?
Yeah, no doubt. But I tell you what, if he runs that sub 5.40, that might attract some of those combine teams that love combine numbers to, he could be gone at 13.
Are you really looking for a giant lineman to run fast, though? Is that really going to boost him up the draft board?
It just means he's athletic and can do more than... Here's what I'll tell you. The linebackers on the Redskins team, I have heard from a lot of them, would love a true natural nose, and
space
I think
eater.
There'd be a lot of excitement about this kid.
Yeah, they say he looks a lot like Haloti Ngata did coming out, and we all know the impact Haloti Ngata had on the Redskins franchise, so it'd be... Be good to see. Good to see him in the burgundy and gold.
All right, yeah. Taylor, you're up. One big man to another.
I have sort of the other side of that a defensive lineman corner, Daron Payne, out of Alabama. He is. He can also play nose tackle. He's 320, and we'll be interested to see how fast he is, how agile he is. You know, I think the choice, if you're looking at Vea and Payne both being on the board. At 13, which one do you choose? It just seems to me, again, it's kind of early in the process. Hemmer looked at a lot of film on these guys, but it seems to me like they might be the better nose tackle.
Yep.
But Payne might be the more versatile you know, might be more useful on all three downs.
Well, and Taylor,
he can rush the passer. He can, you know, he picked off a pass in the national title game or against Clemson. I mean, he was all over the place in those games. And just being a more, you know, a better overall asset. You know, just be kind of interesting to see the side by side numbers with him and Bay, how it all shakes out.
RT, and here's what I'll add. We have seen year after year after year of this team, since they've switched to the 3-4, not investing at the nose position, not investing draft picks, not investing a lot of cash. So to go with Vita, where he's very obviously a nose, would kind of be not conventional with what they've done. You know what I mean?
Right. It would kind of, yes, that would definitely break the mold there. And I've also, the other thing I'll say is, one thing that we didn't talk to Jim Domsula a lot during the year, but must have been either in mini camp or training camp. He said, you know, talking about finding a nose tackle, he said they're not really looking for a 350-pound guy to do it. You know, I think they're all good with somebody small. You know, 320, Payne is not small by any stretch of the imagination. So
yep.
If he can do better on the two downs, I think he could be the better pick. But, you know, certainly, like you said, Vea being more of a pure nose tackle, you know, could be working against him with this group of people looking at him.
All right, Pete, go quick.
All right, so mine would be a bit of a luxury pick, but I said Derwin James, the safety out of Florida State. Even with DJ Swearinger, Monte Nicholson there, I think the Redskins could use a little safety help. I looked up, he's the same weight and height as Deon Buchanan was coming out of school, and he's a little lighter than Cravens was, but to get him early snaps, if they wanted to, they could move him around, perhaps as that money backer that a lot of teams want.
Well, I also think he can cover receivers.
Yeah.
I think there's less questions about Derwin as a secondary guy, and I guess we'll find out with the speed this week.
Yeah, the speed and how smooth he is doing the hip transitions and all that. But I don't know. Nicholson, he looked really good, but he couldn't stay on the field, and Swearinger's kind of limited really deep. So Derwin James, I think, would be very enticing if he's still there at 13, but who knows if he actually gets there.
All right, my guy is Tremaine Edmonds. I don't think this dude will be there for the Redskins at 13. I just cannot wait to see the size, athleticism, and he's only 19 years old. When you talk to scouts and stuff about this guy, the only question is where will he play, because they think he can play inside and outside linebacker. I mean, he seems like a transformative type player, and I'm excited to just see here, maybe get to speak to the kid, and I don't think he gets to 13, so sorry, Redskins fans, but when you got a potential star like that, I don't know. It's that, to me, is exciting.
He's your first-round crush.
I guess so, yeah. But I think he goes top five.
Yeah.
I think he's the guy that surprises.
I don't know, man. It just depends on how many quarterbacks go.
Well, I wrote a story about that the more QBs go, the better for the Redskins. Mitch, go with your Friday pick.
My Friday pick again.
And I don't want to have to put anybody on the clock, but let's be a little tighter.
Friday pick again. I'm going a big man. Will Hernandez.
Just big men for
all
Mitch.
Across the board. Seven picks of them. Let's go.
Well, and this kid makes a lot of sense. UTEP, right?
UTEP guard, four-year starter, had a bunch of Power 5 offers, couldn't qualify out of high school, so he ended up going the UTEP route. All they talk about is his aggressiveness and his playing to the whistle and reading about him and talking about him, it sounds a lot like another guard that the Redskins took early in the draft. So I think
Sheriff, you're saying?
Yes.
A little more surefire. But remember, they thought Sheriff was going to play tackle.
Which is fine, but he turned out to be – we don't have to get into that discussion.
Right.
I think the second-round guard is a good place to take a guard, and I think you shore up that run game a lot with a guy like that.
And the thing I'll add about taking a guard in the draft, once they pay Sheriff next year, they don't have more money to spend on the O-line. So if you don't draft a guy that can fix that position for you, you're talking about having to sign a bottom-budget guy, which is – should not be the plan. Tanler, your Friday guy.
Georgia running back Sony Michel,
who I hope you can get everybody all excited.
I hope they can find him in Indy, because I tell you what, they sure couldn't find him in the second half of that that college championship.
Oh, Tanler, you've been waiting to use that line, man.
Hey, the freaking Dogs coaching staff just lost him. Couldn't find him, didn't call his number. But he's interesting, versatile. What's the saying that Mike Mayock likes? Quicker than fast.
But, do you think they go running back in the second round?
I don't really think so. But I think, if Michelle could prove to be the best available player by a good margin, I think they would. Their recent history does not show them valuing the running back spot much, which many people have argued with me about on Twitter. It's a question of what I think they should do versus what I think they will do. I think they would do well to consider a running back in the second round. Will they? Seems unlikely.
You're just trying to get Redskins fans all hot and bothered.
Well,
they do anyway. I don't know.
I also think it's possible. Stuff I've been reading and a couple texts I sent would be, if Sony has a really good combine, I think he could sneak into the back of round one. The Alvin Kamara comparisons are already going crazy. People, it's such a copycat league. People saw that, and I think there are teams that are like, hey, we have a good run game. You add this guy, it's dynamic. I think it wouldn't shock me if teams try to imitate that. All right, my second round guy, and this is a little different, but you're talking about elite talent, LSU, D-end, outside linebacker, pass rusher, whatever you want to call the guy. Arden Key is a force, man. He is, you could argue that he's as talented as anybody in the draft. I think Marcus Davenport will be the first pass rusher off the board, who could make sense for the Skins at 13. Arden Key has had a ton of off-field issues, and you can argue if the Redskins should roll those dice. But when he played Alabama when LSU played Alabama, Bama couldn't block this kid. And Bama has usually the best O-line out there. And sometimes there are positions where it's worth rolling the dice. I would argue pass rusher is. And if this guy is there and the Redskins brass meets with him and gets a good feel for him and thinks, hey, he had some trouble, but he's ready to turn the corner or whatever. Sometimes you roll the dice on talent, and the kid's 6'5". I think he's like 275. He's probably going to run 4.7. I mean, the athleticism and what he can do rushing the passer is crazy. I'm not sure it'll be a fit. This one comes down to interviews way more than 40 times. RT, any word there?
Yeah, that makes sense. It's hard for me to see them taking a characterist type in the second round. They like to go clean with clean prospects in the first round, but in the first few rounds.
Right.
But I think that you don't know how Doug Williams is gonna really shape things this year.
Well, and one thing I point to is Bruce Allen drafted Aqib Talib in Tampa, so you can never completely count somebody out when the talent is there.
Well, I think it'll be this year is a little bit of a wild card. The first time we're going to really see Doug Williams put together a draft
Kyle
board
Smith.
And this whole group. That,
I mean, Kyle Smith's in charge now of the college side of things.
The whole group who got promotions last year. It'll be interesting to see what this Redskins draft looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Pete.
So Redskins fans are still a little bit salty about them missing Stephon Diggs a couple years ago in the later rounds, despite the fact that he played right in their backyard. So another Terps receiver in this year's draft is DJ Moore. I'm a little worried about his size and whether he could play outside at the NFL, but he produced a ton at Maryland with poop quarterbacks, and also he was a kick and punt returner in his last couple years with the Terps, so he could help there, which the Redskins very much need. So we'll see how fast he runs in the 40, but the dude caught a ton of balls with a not great offense and could be a nice second, third round option at receiver.
For the record, the starting Maryland quarterback was decent or average. They just had 4 injuries every year, and they got to poop.
Yeah.
You're saying like the, all right, fine. I bet DJ goes second. I don't know that the Redskins can afford to swing the hammer at receiver again that early. They might. What we saw last year is they wanted big receivers. I think DJ Moore is a big time talent, but I don't know that he fits the Skins mold, especially with at least another year of Crowder on the books. I think Moore is going to be a stud though.
I think you've also seen a lot of receivers in the past few years coming from the back end of the draft and being successful. So, again, I agree with JP. I don't know that they're going wide receiver this early again.
Now we're going to our sleepers. Mitch is up first.
As much as we talked early on about how
who
the Redskins
made that noise,
that was Pete. I was
Pete,
snoring.
You are terrible with these noises you're making.
I'm snoring. Jeez. Go ahead, Mitch. I'm sorry to interrupt.
as much as the Redskins don't like to take risks early on in the draft, we know later in the draft they like to take guys who have first-round grades and came off of injuries or maybe had suspensions or whatever it may be.
Have you guys gotten any questions about Keith Marshall yet? Because I'm sure they're coming.
My late-round guy, I'm going with Kevin Tolliver from DBU, LSU. Kid,
I thought Virginia Tech claims they're DBU. Taylor's gonna get salty.
Yo, they've had they've had 17 DBs taken in the last 12 drafts. He started as a freshman out at LSU, 6'3", 204, big body, good hands on in man coverage.
What's the injury?
No injury. He was suspended or missed a game in the beginning of the year. No one knows why, but allegedly it was a suspension. They said that if he would have come out last year, they were thinking he was back end of the first round. This year, they're saying it's more like front of the fourth round, beginning of the fourth round.
All right. I like that one, Mitch. That counts. Put that in.
Ding, ding. Pull a guy off the trash heap.
We shall see. Tandler, you're up.
I've got a defensive lineman out of Miami, R.J. McIntosh. I'd say, just looking at him, just his speed. You know, you think of a big lumbering defensive lineman. This guy has some agility. He has some speed. Maybe he's like a poor man's Jonathan Allen. Not quite that effective. But I think, if they, for whatever reason, miss out on the defensive line earlier in the draft, he might be a good guy to bring on, not as a star, not as an instant starter or anything like that, but as another young person in that, a young player in that defensive line rotation.
And here's like a growing trend that I find curious, I guess I'll say. More and more, for a long time, guys only went pro early out of college when they were going to be first, second round picks. I mean, you're looking at R.J. McIntosh. You think he's projected as maybe a fifth, Tandler, something like that?
I'm thinking four or five.
Okay, but like he still had another year. He could have gone back to school. So when you look at this guy's measurables, just CFB reference has him listed 6'4", 293. Once that guy gets into the NFL, he could easily add 30 pounds to that frame, 25 pounds to that frame. And, you look last year at his stats, 12.5 tackles for loss in the ACC for a good Miami defense. It doesn't pop because it's next to 2.5 sacks, but he's doing it from a DT position, right? Or is he down on the end?
No, he's a DT.
So, and the guy, I'm just looking at stat lines. 7 passes defense. I know they teach that at Miami. It's a big Mark Richt thing to get your hands in the air when the ball's in the air. But, hell, you got me curious, Tandler. Sold.
Okay.
Your rookie deal is your rookie deal regardless.
Right. I get why guys want to get out to the league.
A year early and you develop in that first, second, third year. And then by the time you're ready for that contract, you're not still stuck on your...
But your rookie deal is not your rookie deal if you can get into the first round.
Absolutely.
Because then you make some cash. But you know what? Almost ties it up a little bit more. Now that there's that fifth-year option, and granted, you get paid, but that kind of changes the situation, too, because maybe guys would rather get to a second contract.
There also aren't a lot of guys in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round that they spend another year in college are making that jump all the way into the first round.
Well, and I would argue if you're going to be a fifth-round pick, you shouldn't be thinking about your second contract anyway. You should be thinking about making the team.
Good point.
Right, and getting paid to learn being coached by professionals rather than getting paid to learn being coached by college coaches who are there to teach you how to be a college football player, not how to be an NFL player.
Agreed. All right. My sleepers, and I don't know that either of these guys count as sleepers anymore. I liked both of them in Mobile. Kyle Laletta, Mike White. Kyle Laletta is the Richmond kid who everybody's got projected to the Pats all of a sudden. I don't know that he makes it to Saturday, frankly. I think he could be a late Friday night third rounder. Mike White is – both of these guys are quarterbacks. Mike White is quarterback, started his career at South Florida, I think. Which one's in Tampa? South Florida?
South Florida.
Yeah. Started at South Florida, coaching change, transferred to Western Kentucky, put up crazy numbers, and then the Western Kentucky coach went to Purdue. Do I have the right guy?
Yeah, but that Western Kentucky offense put up numbers for years.
His numbers dipped after the coach left. Mike White was a real high baseball prospect, had a 92 mile an hour fastball in high school. Kid's got a crazy arm strength. And when I talked to him in Mobile, the confidence he had,
he was cool.
He had the vibe, man. Yeah. And you can't coach the vibe. Quarterbacks need the vibe. So would it shock me if the Skins late in the draft pick a quarterback, it wouldn't shock me.
Question, you remember who you fell in love with at the combine? I mean, at the draft, at the Senior Bowl last year?
It certainly wasn't a quarterback. All those dudes were dogs.
Dogs. Although, Beathard played a fair amount. Remember, for me, it was Tyrell Basham.
You loved, like, the Ohio
Tyrell Basham.
I liked the West Virginia safety that ended up playing.
The Eagles.
Yeah, them. Rasul.
Douglas.
Yeah.
Corner.
Was there somebody else? I can't remember.
No, that's who I was thinking. Okay.
Yeah. I liked him a lot.
It's just funny you think about the guys you fell in love with last year at the Senior Bowl.
Your old crushes, and now you're moving on.
I'll tell you what I knew last year in Mobile was that Nathan Peterman was bad.
Bad.
And he sure enough came out and proved it. All right, Pete, your last dude.
So Taylor kind of chose a possible Jim Tom Sula project. I'm going to do the same. Nathan Shepard from football powerhouse Fort Hays State, Division II school in Kansas. 6'6", 3 bills, 12.5 tackles for loss, and 4 sacks as a senior. CBS said he was the only lineman to show up positively against Mitch's guy, Will Hernandez, at the Senior Bowl. He is probably going to be an end in 3-4, but he could be a nice little piece there. Maybe it kind of reminds me of Anthony Lanier, a guy that may grow in years 2 and 3, but Tom Sula could work with and has physical tools.
That is a reasonable pick, Pete. All right. Those are a lot of names for you guys to check out. We will have a ton of stuff from
the
combine.
Send us your favorite list. Who had your 3 favorite draft prospects? Hit us up on Twitter, please.
They're not going to do that, Pete.
Hopefully somebody does. Prove JP wrong.
Make sure you are voting in our bracket challenge about who should be the Redskins' first-round pick. It's going. Roquan Smith smoked Calvin Ridley, right? I guess the voting's still going.
Yeah, voting's still going. It finishes up on Thursday, but Roquan's probably going to win.
Taylor, take us out, dude.
Hey. Thanks for tuning in, and just a few more. You know what? I think it's going to work. The podcast party is scheduled, but if we don't get to 150 reviews, JP and I are going to have to pay for it. So
Taylor, take it easy, dude. We're not paying.
No.
This is why. Yo, if the lawyers are listening, this part doesn't count.
I can edit this if we need to.
No, Taylor, there's no part. No, dude, what are you talking about? All right, folks, if you made it this far, I owe you a beer. Thanks for listening.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.